The Why Me Project, an exclusive presentation of Faith Strong Today.
Episode number
50!
They said it would never be done.
And it was done.
And it was done. So that's it, guys. Thank you very much for everything.
Yeah. That means I've been back officially to work for a full year.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh. Has it been that long?
I know.
It feels a lot longer than that.
It feels like 50 years.
We do have an ISG today.
We do. In studio guest in the house.
Who doesn't love an ISG, especially when it's JSC?
That's right. Are you with me?
Yeah, you know me. Jordan St. Cyr, brother. How are you, buddy?
Doing well, guys.
We like to ask this skill testing question because we never know where it's going to go. Who is Jordan and where did you come from?
I'm still figuring that out, really, you know. I'm a singer-songwriter, contemporary Christian artist and worship leader from a small town called Niverville, Manitoba, just south of Winnipeg.
You grew up never leave kind of place?
We'll see. We'll see. Born and raised there, lived there my whole life, but... you know, the career is growing, the music career is growing, so we'll see where that takes us.
Spend some time in Nashville, I can hear.
Just a little bit. My wife bugs me all the time. You know, everybody thinks we're from America.
Right.
You know, so, yeah, we'll see.
I hear y'all.
Yeah, I hear y'all. I try not to say y'all, because that's...
Both of you.
What? It's not... I was recently down there, so I came back and I was telling Holly the temperature in degrees Fahrenheit.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I was using words like y'all.
Yeah.
And she shakes her head and she's just not a fan.
No.
So you grew up in a small town.
That's
You've
right.
Essentially lived there your whole life. What is life like growing up in a small town, a small community, but yet it's a very close-knit community?
Yeah, I think it's a little boring, but as a kid, I think we need that, and our kids these days don't get that as much. Hmm. And it allowed me to focus on things that I probably would have never focused on. Like I just played guitar for hours, you know, and that's what I did. We didn't have any other options. The city was 20 minutes away, so once we got older, it was great, and that was our escape. But growing up, it was you play outside. You go find a friend and do something, you know. Just your typical small town.
When did you realize, or when did you figure out that you had this great love for music and sitting there and wanting to play your guitar for hours on end?
Yeah, you know what? I grew up as an athlete. I was an athlete till I was like 16 years old. I played on all-star teams, and I was like... This was my passion.
What was your sport?
Every sport was my sport. Like, okay, so basketball, baseball, volleyball, and hockey. Okay. Those were my sports. And I played them at all high levels. I always played up. I was a bit of a, you know, whatever. And then I stopped growing, you know, and I stopped getting stronger. And I remember the day when I was 15 years old and I was batting against a pitcher that was like 6'3". Hmm. And I was, you know, I was small. And I was just scared. And I'm like, I'm done. And that really played into the artist part of me. I'm like, okay, I can quit and I can be lazy and I can just, you know, shift gears here. And I've always had a passion for worship music and church. And a youth leader just kind of spoke into my life and said, hey, we need somebody to kind of lead our youth group. And I kind of took that challenge on, picked up the guitar, and I was really terrible, really bad. And I've gotten a little bit better since then. But that's where it started. It started, somebody saw me and said, hey, we need help. And I took up that challenge.
Nice.
Yeah.
So then after high school, what came next?
After high school, I went and did a stint in YWAM.
Oh, okay.
You know, I had a real heart for missions. I've always had this ability to see the world the way it is, not the way we project it in North America. And so I did a stint in Montana and learned a lot about missions and what it means to make a change in the world. And then we had the tragedy in New York and decided to go serve there for a couple months. Mm. And so we were at Ground Zero for a while. And really, we just were a part of the food service to the cops and the firemen that were cleaning up the mess.
What is life like after an event like 9/11, where, I mean, the whole world stopped?
Yeah.
The way we travel nowadays is so incredibly different because the events that had taken place on that day.
That's right.
And a huge city is now stopped. The financial district stopped. and you decided that you wanted to go down to a place with a world, you know, where a world tragedy had happened.
Your awareness changes. Your perception of things change. I remember walking into that, you know, LaGuardia airport and seeing the military men with machine guns at the airport. Like, in, so, you know, you see this military presence mixed in with civilian life. That was so odd. As far as my missional outlook, that just didn't change. It just, maybe the roots of it just grew deeper. You know, as believers, as Christians, this is exactly where I need to be all the time. You know, we need to be at the forefront of what's going on when tragedy strikes.
Was faith a big part of your life growing up? Your parents were strong in the church in that as well?
Yeah. You know what? I grew up in church. We always did that sort of thing. I don't remember a conversion moment in my life. I don't have that neat turnaround story. I never did drugs. I never, you know, never partied like crazy. Yeah. But there was a point in time where my dad, he was a worship leader, and he tells this story where he looks out from the stage as he's leading worship, and he sees his three boys there, and they're very unimpressed with life, you know, young teenagers. And he just knew at that moment, he's like, this isn't working for us. And so as a family, they decided to stop pouring so much time into, like, my dad would go to church early and get out late. You know how it is. Mm-hmm. And so my family stopped going to church. And myself as a young teenager decided that I just want to go to church. And so I was like 14 years old. Who does that? And so I just took it upon myself. So as a family, went to church about 30 minutes away, and I decided to walk to a church that my friends went to in our small town. Mm. And I just took that upon myself, and that just hasn't stopped. It's just always been with me.
Was that kind of when, you know, your parents' faith became your own faith?
Yeah, I think just as a very young person, it just became, it became real. It had to become my own. And I was just a young, responsible person growing up. And so at that age is really when I took it on.
How did your parents then react to, if they're not, and then all of a sudden you're like, guys, listen, I'll walk to church and I'll go be with my buddies. How was their reaction to it?
They loved it. They just embraced that. You know what? I think my older brother and my younger brother were definitely the ones it was not working for. Hmm. And my parents knew that if they kept this up, they would lose them. Now I look back at that experience as like, Mom, Dad, how could you do this? And now I look at the relationship that our family has now, and that was the right choice. But to everybody else, that would have seemed like, whoa, what do you mean? You're not going to church. Mm-hmm. That's crazy. But now I look at the relationship that my parents have with each of their sons, and it's quite incredible.
Well, it's interesting because it seems as though if you see your kids not really engaging in church, you want to keep pushing it little bit more.
That's
right. They need more Jesus. I need to make it more real.
Yeah. I think ultimately we can desire the church to teach our kids about Christ, or we can desire the schools, you know, we can bring prayer back into the schools, and that those are good things. But ultimately, if we don't take on that role as parents, I don't think it's going to work. I don't think it's going to take.
Hmm. Your kids are how old?
I've got two boys, 7 and 6, and a little girl, 3.
So let's put you in your parents' shoes, and all of a sudden let's fast forward, you know, 7, 8, 9 years, and all of a sudden your boys aren't really as interested.
I'm terrified.
Right?
That's right. I think for us, we've always had just a very open approach. Like, you boys can ask us anything. Just give it to us real, speak from your heart. And, you know, if that's the case, we will cross that bridge when we get there. But ultimately, my desire for my kids is just a real joyful experience. Like, this is the good news. So if there's not, you know, a happiness side to this, then is it really real? You know, there is a payoff, there is joy, and there are good things that come out of this faith.
So you grow up in small town. Your wife grows up where?
Another small town.
Now,
20 minutes away.
We talk about high school sweethearts because you're such a small community. Were you play school sweethearts, elementary school sweethearts?
Not even close. Not even close.
When did you guys end up meeting?
You know what? This was, again, we call this a God moment in our lives, because I used to be in a rock band playing bars, and so that crowd that associated with that, my wife was living with a roommate at the time. And so long story short, a friend of ours invited all of us to a house party. He was going to school with my wife's roommate at the time. She invited all of her friends to a house party. So big party, lots of drinks. She's a little outside of her comfort zone. I'm a little outside of my comfort zone. And we somehow got to talking, and all of a sudden it's 6 in the morning and we just talk the night away. She had a boyfriend at the time.
Scandalous.
It was totally scandalous. And you know what? He made it really easy. But you know what? We didn't start dating right away. I just made a point of like, I think you're great. You're amazing. If you want to deal with that boyfriend thing, great. You know, then we can chat. And, you know, you think, oh, Jordan, that's really wise and great. Then I emailed at her, I think, a couple weeks later saying, you know what? This is garbage. We should be together. And so I think that kind of was a catalyst for her to deal with that situation. And the first year of our relationship was rocky because I was coming from a very innocent, narrow-minded, small-town mentality. The things that I learned from Heather on how, you know, every great woman turns a boy into a man.
I don't want to say that growing up in the church is a negative thing, because that's but do you think that you being a part of the church bubble hindered you at all?
No, I think we've all got to grow up at some point. And I don't mean that in a negative way. I think, like Holly said, our faith has to become our own, and we've got to be responsible for that. So eventually, you got to mature. You've got to be responsible for your faith, disciplined in it. And, you know, go out and share it with the world. Be real.
Now it's time for the skill testing question. You dated for how long?
Oh, man. We dated 2 years.
Okay.
Engaged for how long?
Oh, a year.
Married for how long?
Just over 10 years.
Okay. Nice.
Very cool.
Yeah.
She asked us to ask you that question just to see how well you knew.
When is your anniversary?
I don't even know if I got that right. Yeah. Yeah. I know that we've been married just over 10 years because that's kind of it's an easy thing, right?
Yeah. It's a milestone.
Yeah. But the beginning's all a little blurry though.
Right?
Yeah. Oh, September 25th.
Well, skill testing question. Check, check, check.
Yeah. Am I still married?
Yeah. She'll listen back and she'll be like, that was wrong.
Actually.
Dang.
Oh, goodness. Well, here you are, you know, the beginning, you're dating, newlyweds.
Yeah.
When did you have the conversation about, you know, music, I think, one like that's going to be my main vocation?
You know what? My wife has been the only reason why I've been able to do this, to leave home. In the beginning, it was a learning curve where she knew what I was about. She saw the potential in what could be. And so she knew that she was marrying an artist. That being said, in the beginning, we were both needy, you know? And so when I left, there was a need there that she wanted me to be home. Now that we've kind of matured and grown up and realized that we serve such a greater purpose, when I tell her about an opportunity and she'd be like, yeah, is it right? Yeah, we'll talk about it. And she'd be like, yeah. So she kicks my butt out the door and really supports me. I think she can do that. Because there was a point in our relationship where I had to lay that dream down right in front of her and just say, you know what, whatever happens, you're worth more than any of this. You come first. And if we can do that as men, I think that opens up so many possibilities for us.
One thing that you hear a lot of artists say, though, is that there's a constant strain on marriage when it comes to touring.
Your
career's not necessarily where you want it to be. You're on the road all the time. You're away from family. How do you navigate things like that?
I like that you use navigate, because most people use balance.
Mm-hmm.
And let's get serious. There's no such thing. There's just no such thing. My wife and I speak a lot together. So like this weekend we're at a church and we both had the opportunity to speak together. That's been an answer to prayer where we can do more of this together. A couple of weeks ago, we were in Moose Jaw. We decided to take the kids with us. Is it easy? Heck no, but we did it. And you know what? It's just a way that we can show our kids that you're a part of this journey and that when music happens or when speaking happens, it's not a punishment. You know, we're going to go out, we're going to go spend a couple days at a hotel, find a good pool. And you know what? They don't need much. They need an elevator and some water. That's it. You know?
That's awesome. How do your kids take your parents on the road.
Yeah.
Home with, I'm guessing, a grandparent or something.
Yeah. You know what? They love being at home. Mm-hmm. My mom literally is a godsend. She will move into our home. She will take care of the kids. And the kids, just when we're about to leave, they just like, why aren't you guys gone yet? You know? So we have, I think, just really secure kids. And that's just a testament to God's faithfulness in us just stepping out with our ability and Him just kind of filling the gaps. Right now, we're doing it the best we can, and we don't know what the future looks like. And we're kind of keeping that with an open hand. You know, God, if you've called us to do this more, well, then we're going to trust you to make a way, even with the emotional state of our kids. You know, we're just going to trust you.
I was thinking about this when it comes to you being, you're a worship artist, and,
yeah,
and you have a chance to travel all around. You get a chance to be a part of a lot of different churches.
Yeah.
How difficult is it for you, though, going into a different church all the time? Different ways that they worship, different rules that they have, different ways that... Do you find that difficult at all?
I love it. I just have, more than music, I think I have a love for people and a healthy respect for different kinds of people. Growing, and I think that came out from being a very narrow-minded, black and white, judgmental kid. You know what I mean? Who thought he knew the right way. And now as I've grown up, as I've met my wife, you know, marriage is give and take. Then you have kids that literally suck the life out of you.
A lot of take
in the best way possible. And mm-hmm. I think that's just the way God designed it. It's not easy. Different pastors, different communities place different expectations on you. But just, I love those conversations of just chatting through the details. The bottom line is we're all serving a greater purpose.
I say that too, because I find that I've heard a lot lately that Western Canadian, Western American church is so very different from churches other places. Because
okay.
For us, we have, you know, you're there at 10 o'clock, worship is 10 minutes.
That's right.
Then you have the pastor speaking, you're out by 11 at Swiss Chalet by, you know,
that's right.
11 o'clock.
That's right.
Very structured.
Yeah. If you look at a lot of church in developing countries and that, you know, people are traveling hours upon hours to get to church. So a church service is no longer an hour. It's 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 hours.
That's right.
Because it's more of a huge event than it is of, okay, we got to do this, got to do that.
That's right. That's right. And imagine if we did that every Sunday. Mm. Oh, we'd be wrecked. I think it's just coming in. As an artist, we're here to serve. You know, as music always serves the heart, whatever's in the heart, music... The heart is the filter, and the music comes out that way. As artists, we are there to just serve the church and serve their vision. Sometimes if we don't agree with it, we're there to just to be and to help and to serve.
God has really placed a blessing on your life in that when it comes to you and your writing, you've had accolades. You may even have more accolades coming up as 16,000 entries for the best writer in the whole world, and you're one of them. I know that's not exactly what it's called.
Sort of international
songwriting competition.
And this is a real thing.
This isn't fake. This is real.
I always get the emails, and I think,
that's right.
Is this just one of those spam things?
Yeah.
We've had so many Canadians.
There's a lot of Canadians. For me, my 2018 has been all about awareness. And so how can I get the word out, who I am and what I'm doing? And these songwriting competitions have been a great avenue for me to just get my name out there. And so with the International Songwriting Competition, there were 16,000 entries. 2% of that made the finals in different categories. So there's a pop category, you know, Roots Americana category, folk category. And of course, I'm in the Christian category. So there were 10 of us that made the finals. So it's exciting.
When Holly and I do radio, and I can't necessarily speak for Holly, sometimes it's, you know, I really think that God is leading us here. Other times it's, you know, this is really fun, or, you know, this is something that we should talk about. When you go to the writing side of things, is it a constant, you know, how is God going to use me for this? Or what is your mindset when you go into writing some of these songs?
It's kind of twofold. It's kind of starting off with a prayer and just saying, God, what do you want to say? If I kind of control the narrative, you know how you start a degree off and you get, you know, 10 miles down the road and you're nowhere. The journey starts with the song. And when you craft that song and that message starts right then and there. So ultimately, heaven, what do you want to say? What do you want to say to your people? Because that's what we're here as artists, believing artists. And then really just, I use the Bible. you know, believe it or not, as that's the source for the message. And I try and keep it that simple. God, what do you want to say? And try and hear Spirit and look into the Word.
Is it ever kind of about what you're going through as well?
Absolutely. I think, again, the way, you know, the music filters through our hearts and whatever's in the heart, it's kind of how it comes out. And I think in order for us to be real and authentic, we have to allow people in to our story. Mm-hmm. And it's really how our lives have intersected with God's. And I think that's where the magic comes from.
Do you find it difficult to be vulnerable in your songwriting?
Not really.
That's part of who you are.
That's probably, yeah. That's,
some artists, they feel like they have to be a certain way, or this is my image.
That's right. Mm-hmm. No, I think especially in moments of worship or in moments at a show where you've got all these smoke and, you know, smoke and lights and, mm-hmm. and big stage and great sound, those are all great tools. But if you lack that moment of vulnerability, I think you miss the magic. You miss the moment where God's Spirit, that's his spot. You know, and he uses when we are at our weakest. That's when he is strongest.
So then somebody comes up to you after a show and says, Jordan, listen, what you had said, what you had sung has really touched me. How do you react to something like that?
I'm still blown away that I get to do this. I don't understand. I'll probably never understand the magnitude in which, you know, this gifting, this ability, this music thing and how it impacts people. I know how it impacts me, and that's all I got. And somehow God has chosen me. Like we talked earlier, like how we all feel like frauds. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we're all just people trying to get through the day. And some people are given a stage and a pulpit or a microphone, and we somehow elevate them to a greater status. But ultimately, we're all on the same journey. We're all just trying to get through today, you know, unscathed, relatively. And so when somebody comes up and says that, I'm blown away that God would use somebody like me.
I elevate Holly a lot.
Yeah.
mostly phone books and that, because she's so much shorter than
the,
I am.
The nice little booster seat.
Nice.
Thank you.
Nice.
I totally appreciate that you personalized it in rhinestones. That's great. So great.
You have a bedazzler at home?
No, you. I find it interesting talking with some artists, though, the newness of them hearing themselves on the radio.
Right.
Do you still get the sometimes those wow moments that, oh my gosh, I can't believe my song is on the radio? Or is that kind of now old hat for you?
Some days old hat, some days, again, just can't believe that this is a thing that people would invest in me and play my music. It's a weird feeling.
I remember hearing Greg Sykes tell us a story about, oh my gosh, guys, listen, you can hear us. And the kids are like, Dad, we've heard that song a year and a half
That's
ago.
Right. That's right.
Yeah.
Oh, you know, talk to my wife about that. Writing songs in the living room. And she's like, you know, I've heard that song a million times. Like, so when we meet new friends in that, and when she kind of grins and bears it, says, oh, I love Jordan's singing voice. It's, I'm like, really, babe? You know, come on. Yeah.
Oh, goodness. That's awesome. So when you guys get to go out together on the road.
Yes.
I'm guessing you handle the music. She handles the speaking, or do you guys tandem this?
For the most part, she handles most of the speaking. Mm-hmm. I'll still do a little speaking. But she has such a mother's heart for the world and speaking. So we do a lot of speaking through Compassion and speak on their behalf. And the moment I realized that she was going to make a great speaker, we were traveling down in Spring Hill, Tennessee. This is just south of Nashville. And we were coming around a bend. And to the left of us was this really short kind of cabbage patch-like area. And out of that patch just ran a raccoon right under the wheel of our car. And it just U-balled and went right back into the cabbage patch. And, you know, it was significant. Like, our car ran over this animal. Oh, it's fine, babe. It's good. I look over, and she is a mess. She's like, this raccoon, and it's probably a mom, and it's got babies, and it's going to die. And in that moment, I was like, you carry the burden of the mother's heart for this world. And just the way that she is raising our children and how she helps raise the kids on our street. You know, we've got a little boy that lives down the street, or used to live down the street, who was just really rough around the edges and just had a hard time playing with kids. Just started coming to our house every day. We made the hard choice where, you know, he was teaching our kids some bad languages and some, you know, bad ways to play. And we just said, you know what? We need to embrace this kid. And this is all her. So, mm-hmm. Yeah.
two quick things, because I'm curious about the working with your spouse.
Yes.
Some people say, I could never work with my spouse.
Yeah.
Too much, too close quarters, I need my space.
That's right.
How has that been for you guys?
You know what? It's challenging, but again, it's not the easy road, but it is the better road. Because I'm gone, you know, from the family a lot, when we get to travel together, it is a huge blessing. But in the music business or in any field in which you're tracing your dream, you just become a master hurdler. So while we may butt heads at some point, you know that this is just part of the journey and we're going to get better at this because we care about each other.
Have there been any moments that have really stood out to you where you have said, why me? Whether it be in kind of a rough situation, a valley, or from a mountaintop?
Absolutely. I mean, like I said about hurdles, you know, we are always traversing some crazy, weird new terrain. You know, the bottom line is that God, if he's called you to something, you know, you may go through these why me valleys and you may question why you're doing what you're doing. But for me, it was always, you know, oh, I could do this career over here. And then I would think it through and then I would come back. Oh, but when I get bored, I would probably just end up doing music. And then I could go, you know, back to school and do this over here. It would always come back to this fire in my heart that God has placed with me. So when I get down and when I question, like, God, why me? Why have you, you know, given me this cross to bear? He always shows up. I think it's important that we ask the question and we continue to ask that question. It's okay to wrestle with it. Just know that he's going to come through with an answer for you.
His new music video is out now. You want to follow him on Instagram and or Twitter. It is at Jordan St. Cyr. JordanSt.Cyr.com, JordanSt.Cyr.com. Jordan, we appreciate you taking a minute and hanging out with us in studio.
Yeah, thank you guys so much. This has been a blast.
Love me an in-studio guest, and hard to believe the first time that we got to meet that guy, he is quite fantastic.
I know, I feel like I've known him forever.
The only thing that would have made that better is if he brought donuts, or Skittles,
coffee,
or jelly beans, or maybe...
That's actually quite a long list.
Licorice. Next time, anybody else who's going to come in studio with us, that's all we're asking.
Terrible!
We're not asking for much.
Just your love.
Yeah, exactly. Make sure you show your support, though, whether it's an artist that's coming to your town, get out there, because the only way that we're able to further this industry is by supporting the artists we love.
Yeah, exactly. And artists like that, I mean, it's so amazing just seeing what he's accomplished so far and his passion for God through his music.
Download us on Apple Podcasts. Check us out on Stitcher and Google Play.
And, of course, you can visit us online at faithstrongtoday.com. Yeah.